So good to see all your faces. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to see you too, Pastor Mike. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I felt it. I felt it from the deepest parts of me that you're just as happy to see me. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You know, I surrender all. I was watching a TV show the other day. It's called The Last Alaskans. And it's about a group of people that have a permit from generations and generations ago, way out in the middle of nowhere, like 400 some miles from the nearest town. And they just live out in the middle of nowhere. And basically when their permit will run out when their last child has left the earth, and then no one's allowed to be there anymore. So they kind of had, you know, rights there for years, and they just out there doing their thing. And the one gentleman was out there, and you know, he had a Bible, and he's talking about the Lord and stuff, and just talking about, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that's really noble, and that's really awesome. And it just came to me, his whole life is about living for himself, not affecting anybody, not doing anything for God. And I just thought, man, what a sad and lonely purpose that would be. We're created for him. We're made into his image. We're his workmanship, made for good works. Amen? As much as I would love to go be a hermit in Alaska, right? You ain't going to affect the world that way. You're not going to touch lives that way. I thought, my goodness, what a shallow existence and a shallow purpose. And, you know, I'm not doubting he loves the Lord. I'm not saying that or trying to come down against him. I'm just saying there's lots of people. There's lots of people within churches that live that way. It's just, don't talk to me about anything. I just want to come and be blessed and that, go home and just leave me alone. Amen? What a shallow existence. We're here for him to affect this world. Praise God. Father, we love you tonight. We want to be people that you could use. Glory to God. And so, Lord, we're just so grateful and so thankful for your word tonight. And Father, I thank you for these precious people that you love so much you died for them. And you gave us your word to help us. And Lord, bless them tonight. They came out on a cold night under the threat of a winter storm, but they still came out, Father, to hear from heaven. So Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and speak to them and talk to them specifically where they are in their life and help them get to a new phase of glory, a new level of revelation. And Lord, we're looking to you tonight. We don't look to a man. We don't look to a ministry. We look to you. And so, Lord, I thank you. As I open my mouth, you will fill it. I know you're ready. I'm ready. And I believe the people are ready. So we're going to have a time of heaven on earth here tonight. Boldness and utterance will be spoken forth. What you need to do will be done. What needs to be said will be said. And we'll thank you and give you the praise for it beforehand, Father. We say we walk out of here changed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we, the ministers, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, Nicanor and Timon, and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they had set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, congregation member, not a minister, full of faith and power, did great wonders, miracles among the people. Praise God. And so a few weeks back, you know, we've been talking about miracles, signs, and wonders, and we will as we go forth in this church, because that is the flow of God. That is what God wants for this church. That is what God wants for all of His churches. Because God is a God of miracles, signs, and wonders. Ever since the beginning of when we have anything about Him recorded, it was filled with miracles, signs, and wonders. And He's a God that has not changed just because it's 2017. And just because the world's a certain way, God has not changed to meet our world. Amen? We're to conform to Him. And so we've been talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. And we saw here that a man by the name of Stephen, who was a churchgoer, a congregation member, he didn't have a ministry, he didn't have a church, he wasn't a reverend, he was a sheep in a congregation. He was used mightily of God in miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Now real quick, you can hold your place here and go over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 in verse 15. And He said unto them, Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's He saying? Well, the same thing Paul said in 2 Corinthians, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. That's why that guy out there in Alaska, what's he ambassadoring of Christ to? The grizzlies? The moose? I mean, I'm serious. We have to realize we are the ambassadors to Christ. We're the ones anointed to preach the gospel to the world. What's the world? Your holiday dinners, your workplace, your friends, your family members, where you shop. That's the world. Amen? He that believeth and is baptized, verse 16, shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So He's not just talking about the audience He had in front of Him that day. He's talking to anyone that would believe. He said signs should follow the believers. Why should signs follow the believers? Because go down to verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word. Well, why would the word need to be confirmed? Because it's the word that leads to somebody's salvation. It's the word that leads to somebody being born again. When Peter stood up after the lame man was healed in Acts chapter 3, he preached the word. But there's people that stand on the street corners and preach the word, and nobody's getting born again. Amen. There's people that stand there at ball games and thousands of people walk by them at night and they stand there with the sandwich boards on them and they have John 3:16 on them and they're shouting the word and they're telling about heaven and they're telling about hell and nobody's getting born again. Well, that's what Peter was doing. He was preaching the word to crowds. But Peter's word had authority based on the miracle that was done beforehand. The Lord confirmed the word with a sign, praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible said Jesus was a man approved or accredited to be of God only, not because of His eloquent speaking, not because of His bold preaching and teaching, because Acts 2:22 says the miracles, signs, and wonders. They proved to the people this man was legit. This man was real. The Bible says many followed Jesus because of the miracle signs and wonders. Many believed in His name because of the miracle signs and wonders. Well, if God says we're the ones to go out, and again, we are the ones to go out. As I look around this room tonight, I see zero sinners in here. There's nobody in this building tonight that needs Jesus in the sense of salvation-wise. And this is not the place where you're going to find the majority of the sinners. Sinners don't decide, you know, hey, I got an idea, Joe. Let's go down and hang out at the local church tonight. That's not what sinners are saying. Let's go down and hang out at the local bar. Let's go do something else, not the church. It's the world, the grocery stores, the workplace, your friends and family get-togethers. That's where the world is. Amen. And if you think that this is just meant to be for the preachers and the internet people and the people that have TV ministries. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to miss heaven because we didn't do our job. Because he said to go out and preach. He said, I'm not a preacher. Oh, yes, you are. If you have a mouth, you're a preacher. If you have hands, you can be a healer. Amen. One of the signs is lay hands on the sick. One of the signs is preach the word. He said over there in the gospel, he said, I'll give you the word to speak. If you'll open your mouth, I'll fill it. Praise God. And so we have to understand, Ephesians chapter 1 says, we are the body of Christ. Well, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, in the yesterdays of what we read about him in the Bible, what was the body of Christ doing? Jesus, the body, was going around preaching the word and healing people. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, he's no longer here. He's the head of the body. We're the body. So what do you think Jesus wants his body to do? The same exact thing his body was doing in the Gospels. Amen. Preaching the word and going forth with miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Amen. And we've been trying to motivate you, to tell you, you have a part to play in this. That, yeah, we have the testimony of Miracle Mike, and we have an anointing, and we have a mandate on this ministry. But I don't believe that that's just a mandate for these walls, because the miracles, the signs and the wonders, the gifts of the Spirit, were not, the majority were not for the church. Gifts of healings and workings and miracles and special, those things were not majority for the church. God gave the church faith to access what we need. The world doesn't know how to use faith, so he gave them the miracles, signs, and wonders, the gifts of the Spirit, to show them he's real. Amen. So we're trying to motivate you and fire you up that to get out there and to be bold, to be contending for these things. And yes, we say the power of God works through my pastor. We say he's got an anointing, but you're also anointed. And if you'll have faith in the word, say, Lord, you said it in your word here, that these signs will follow them that believe. And if you'll go forth and step out in faith and do his word, the signs will follow. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'll just be bold enough to pray for a coworker's child, or to lay your hands on a coworker, to be in the store and see somebody going through something, or see someone crying that you don't know, and actually have the faith to go up to them and say, what is wrong? How can I help you? And believe that when you open your mouth, words of life are going to flow out of you. Amen. But see, we don't believe that about ourselves a lot of times. And so thank God we have a man by the name of Stephen who shows you you can do it. Praise God. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Or let's see here. We don't need to go to a specific verse. Just go back to Acts chapter 6. I'll tell you where to go in a second. You can just go to verse 1, Debbie. And so we saw a man by the name of Stephen did miracles, signs, and wonders, people born again in his ministry. He wasn't a minister. He was just somebody that actually took it upon himself to go forth and do the work of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'd love to come eat dinner with you on Thanksgiving, but man, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody and preach the word. I'd love to come to your jobs and tell your coworkers. I'd love to come to your friend's house and tell them all, but that's not realistic. And just think about in your circle and different things with work and different things with family members and stuff. What you know, I bet you there's not a lot of people in your circles outside of this place that know what you know. Yeah, that believe what you believe. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You may just be the only anointed little Jesus walking on this earth that your friends, family members, coworkers, whoever, ever come in contact with. It's true. You have a responsibility, but the Bible says you can do it, praise God. So we said, well, let's look at Stephen's life. And I don't know if we'll get through all of it tonight, but we started. And we saw this, that one thing that was interesting is the minister said, hey, it's not a right thing for us to be in the ministry of helps. We have a job to do. We're to give ourselves to word and prayer. Not belittling the ministry of helps, because without the ministry of helps, the word and prayer never gets its platform to do what it needs to do. Because word, giving yourselves to word and prayer is preparation to come here and pour into the people. Well, without the ministry of helps, there's no platform to come and pour into the people. Amen? That's just the truth. The ministry of helps is the lifeblood in the church, praise God. And we see here that when the ministry of helps was in operation, the Bible said the word of God increased greatly. And the first thing we said, if we're going to look at a man, a regular sheep, who, when I say regular, I'm not belittling, I'm just saying not a minister, not in the fivefold ministry, the characteristics of Stephen, he was a servant. Right. He served. When they needed to serve tables, he didn't say, that's below me. He didn't say, let me pray about it. Amen? There was a need. They asked him, and he said, yeah, there's a need in my church, of course. I need to pray about it. If there's a need in your church, that's your answer. That's God telling you, yes, do it. Praise God. Well, I'm not comfortable. Well, neither was Jesus on the cross. But God didn't ask him his comfort level, and we saw that. And so the first thing we need to see, because I believe that if we're going to be used out there, we better first be faithful in here. If we can't even serve, now again, let me preface this because we have newer people all the time. If you're newer here and you're just getting settled, we're not talking about you. But if you're planted in a church and this is your home and you're getting fed the word and you're partaking, because you're getting fed right now. Well, I know this in my home. When you get fed, you ought to help with the cleanup. You ought to help with the preparation. You ought to help with setting the table. You ought to take the garbage out. You ought to do the dishes. Praise God. And to come in here week after week after week to get fed such high quality meals and do nothing for the house, it's not biblical. Now again, if you're newer, we're not talking about that. But and so I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. But I want to take it a step further since we're preaching to the choir tonight. Because I want to read just a couple of verses here. I'm just going to say them without turning there. But in Mark chapter 10, it says that Jesus came not to be ministered to, but to minister. The very Son of God's purpose was to minister to people and to serve people. And yet we have people sitting in churches. Well, don't ask me to do that. I'm not doing that. But you're glad he went to the cross, but you can't do nursery? Wait, you're glad he went to the cross, but you can't be an usher? Wait, you're glad he went to the cross, but you can't serve in sound? You can't clean the church once every 6 weeks for 2 hours? You can't do that? But yet, I'm thankful you went to the cross for me, Jesus, backwards. Amen. When the Son of God is our example, he humbled himself, became a servant. Amen. And Jesus said, the greatest among you will be a servant. Amen. The greatest among you will be a servant. But I want to take it a step further because I know I'm preaching a lot to the choir on Wednesday nights. And if you're here and by some chance you don't serve, ask your pastor. That's me. Ask me, what can I do, Pastor? What does the church need? How can I help? I know when I got born again and got fired up for God, what can I do, Lord? Someone like Dr. Dufresne, who lived such a prosperous lifestyle, was used so mightily, God. We see characteristics of these men and women of God that were used mightily. What can I do, Lord? Went right to his pastor. Sir, what can I do for the church? Clean toilets. Yeah, I'll do it. Clean those things. Pastor Michael had a toilet ministry. He said it was an honor to clean those toilets, as if he cleaned them as if Jesus himself was going to use them. Amen. And so I want to take it a step further tonight. And I want to mention our attitude about serving real quick. Because again, we preach to the choir. But it's one way, you know, I could tell Caleb and Abby, pick up the playroom. And they can stomp their feet and sigh and grumble and groan. That's one way they could do it. Or, yes, Dad, I'll do that and go right and do it. No complaint. That's a different way of doing it. One's excellent and one's not excellent. Well, the Bible says about Jesus, again, we won't turn there. I'm going to go to a verse here in a second. The Bible says about Jesus in Mark chapter 7, said he did all things well.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So let's take it just a quick step further because we have a lot of people, sir, you serving here. You say, you're preaching to the choir, Pastor Mike. I'm serving. But make sure we're doing it with the right attitude. Make sure we're doing it with the right heart. First of all, you need to know it is an honor to serve anywhere in your church. You are, in a sense, doing the church a favor because you're blessing and it's helping things go forward. But you have to look at it as, oh my gosh, what an honor. I get to serve in the house of God.
Amen.
And I'll help you with that. Go to Colossians chapter 3. What's your attitude? Don't be the nursery worker that's always late. Don't be the usher that... you can't show up. You never call. You just don't do it. I mean, seriously? Is that how we treat the house of God? You don't show up when you're scheduled to. You don't let anybody know. You complain when it's your time to serve. Man. Well, I don't get to sit in the seats with so and so. Well, you know what? I never get to sit in the seats with my family. Never. It's rare, but you know what? This is what I'm called to do. So, sir, yes, sir, I'll do it with a good attitude.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's try to help you here tonight. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because we got to have right attitudes about this. Because
right.
I'll bet you God didn't use Stephen because he was a grumbler and a griper. Tables! Tables! You want me to serve tables? Disqualified. Disqualified. Jesus was willing to do whatever. He got down on his knees and washed Peter's feet to show him that what servanthood looks like. Amen. What did he do? He did something so far beneath who he really was. And he did it with a good spirit and with a good attitude. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Colossians chapter 3. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Go to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. What's it saying? Whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it to Jesus. When you show up for sound, or the overhead, or ushering, or nursery, or to show up to clean when nobody's watching, or to show up to do whatever, get the snacks ready, or clean up, or whatever anybody does around here, are you showing up with the attitude, I'm blessed to be able to do this, and I'm doing this as if I am serving Jesus today? I remember taking care of my dad when he had a stroke. And it was a hard, hard time in my life. I had to do things for my dad and see things that was just so demeaning for him as a father and a son. And it started to wear on me. And I started to get upset with him and not treat him bad in the sense I was never physically bad with him, but just short with him with my attitude. And things he couldn't control just after months and months would weigh on me. And it just broke my heart. I said, Lord, this isn't right. You know, it's not his fault, you know. And this verse came into my spirit. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as in the Lord. And I said, Father, from this point forward, I'm going to look at my dad like it's Jesus. I'm going to look at my dad like it's you. And I took such care and such kindness with him. Imagine if we showed up here thinking, I'm doing nursery for Jesus today. It's not for the parents of this kid that's got boogers coming out of their nose. It's for Jesus. I'm serving in sound today, not so just people can just hear the music and, oh, what's the big deal? I hardly have to turn anybody. No, I'm doing it for Jesus. Oh, we'd be on time. We'd show up with a smile. We'd show up with an attitude of submission, praise God. It's the truth. We need to be excellent in our serving, amen? I truly believe Stephen was a man of excellence. And that's why God was able to use him so mightily. I don't want to do that. Disqualified. And I truly believe that if God can't get you to serve in a place you're being well fed, how's he going to get you out there to have the boldness to tell you to go talk to a friend that has a sick child? Or I remember driving down the road on the way to her house. We were driving separate. It was years ago. A family get together, I believe it was, and there was a gentleman outside a gas station. And my heart just broke for him when I saw him, just the way he looked. I just thought, my goodness, his life must be hard. I feel so bad for him. And I started to pray, Lord, went down the street and said, Lord, send somebody to tell him about Jesus. And the Spirit of God said, what's wrong with you? And I just kept driving. I thought, I don't want to go talk to him. You know, nervous, you know. I don't want to go do that. And in my spirit, I couldn't let it go. And the farther I got down the road, the heavier and heavier it got. Well, Lord, it's a test. Hey, we need cleaners. That's a test. Hey, we need nursery workers. That's a test. Are you going to step up in anything, right? I know we're preaching to the choir here, but I'm just saying in general. Well, that was a test. How much can I use you, Mike Anderson? If you won't stop at the rural gas station and tell someone that you have compassion on about me, how am I going to get you into greater things? So I turned around and I went back. And he was in there. He was the one that was working. And there were no customers there. And I said, sir, I said, I was driving down the road. I didn't tell him exactly everything I thought or felt, you know. I said, it just came strong on my heart. I just want to tell you about the Lord and a little bit about what he's done for my life and how good he is. And he said, get the blank out of my store now. I thought he must not have heard me because Jesus told me to come here. I said, I just want to. He said, I'm telling you, if you don't get out of here, I will call the cops. I got in my car and I said, Lord, I know I didn't miss you. I didn't want to come here and talk to him. You told me to go there and tell him about you. He said, and this came up by spirit. I told you to go there. I didn't tell you he'd receive me. I believe, number one, a seed was planted, but number two, it was more for me to be obedient, to get over some things, and to realize rejection's part of the game. Amen? But, you know what the Lord knows? That's like I tell you about that Sister Amy story where she's in that service where that gentleman, God told a gentleman, that guy next to you is going to die. He's mixed up in some stuff. You need to tell him. The guy said, I'm not telling him. And Sister Amy's preaching, and he's starting to criticize her. Why does she get to do all this? How come you're using her? And then she all of a sudden calls that guy out and says, sir, I know you're involved in some things, and if you don't knock it off, you're going to die. And the Lord, when she said that and helped that guy, the Lord spoke to the guy that was criticizing, the guy that wouldn't tell him, said, that's why I use her, because she'll do whatever I say. Right. Amen. And if we can't first prove our faithfulness in here, how are we going to be used mightily out there? Stephen had to first be proved in here, then God took him out there and used him mightily. Amen? Amen? I didn't get to be, and again, I'm not some great place, don't misunderstand me, but I do pastor two churches, and in a place of authority and leadership, I didn't get here by coming out of Bible school and standing here. No, I went through the orange vest of parking lot guy, typing behind there, worship guy up on the screen. Yeah, youth group guy, worship leader guy, nursing home ministry guy before I ever had a church. Yeah, now we can do things in greater measure and things and influence more people, but what are you going to do about the guy at the gas station? Amen. It's the truth. Well, we ain't going to get through everything tonight. But that's okay. Amen. So not only was he willing to serve, he was excellent in his service, just like Jesus was. Jesus did all things well. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 6. So number one, he was willing to serve. We saw that the other time. Again, I don't know about you, but your desire ought to be, I want to be like Stephen. I want to lead people to Jesus. I want to lay hands and see the anointing actually change lives. If you don't have that desire, then again, you don't have a revelation of heaven and hell and their reality. Because if the miracle signs and wonders will turn people on to Jesus more than anything and give you a voice or give you authority, then you need to want these things operating in your life because that'll give you the umph to go forward and to show people you're not crazy and weird. Amen. Amen. So we're trying to see if God used a man, just a regular man. What were the characteristics of? Well, number one, he served. He just said yes. Well, now let's go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report. You know what that means? 7 men of good character. Amen. Your character matters. How you live your life matters. Amen. Amen. Don't get quiet. Amen. It's true. You can't just talk any old way, put any old thing in your body, go any old place, do any old thing, and expect the power of God to be harnessed in your life. Amen. Why would God send why would God anoint and equip and to somebody that's going to go out and give him a bad name? And we see it. We see it in different people in church history have gone before that had power working in their lives. If they weren't right character-wise, it caught up to them. And they died young. And they lost their influence. And they lost their power. Absolutely. You can't just live any old way and expect God to harness. Say, prove it to me by the word. I'm glad you asked. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see. Let's go to verse 19. Good character. I don't know how many people have come through the churches back when I was the minister at Family Church in Jamestown and led the worship, was the associate pastor. There's nobody right now, but we've had people in this church and even in the Olean church come through. They're so talented. Oh, they can sing. Oh, they can play an instrument. But you can't put them in front of people because their lives out there are billboards for the devil. The way they dress, the way they talk, places they go, you can't use them. There was a gentleman that came to the Jamestown church, and at the time we had hand drums. And drums are probably, I would say, my favorite instrument. I think they can add so much, and you can do so much more musically when you have a drummer and someone that can actually play the drum set, full drum set. There's different things you can do in a song and break down a song and stuff that you just can't do without a drummer. And we needed that at Jamestown. We had singers, we had a hand drummer, we had a bass player, we had people that played electric guitar, lead. We had a pretty darn good worship team, but the one thing we were missing at the time was a drummer. And there was a gentleman that came, and you know, usually people that don't have the best character, they make sure to let you know how good they are at something right off the bat. And he right off the bat came to church, made sure to let us know how good he was at drums and showed us, and he was awesome. One of the best drummers I've ever seen with my own eyes play. So we said, okay, well, we know we sure could use a drummer, but you know what? Why don't you serve in our parking lot for 6 months first? Why don't you, or you have a lady that sings so beautifully. I think of a lady at the Jamestown church. She sang beautifully. Why don't you clean for 6 weeks or 6 months first, and then we'll put you on worship team? Well, that's a heart test. Yeah. You don't just start on the platform. Amen? And I remember the lady say, I'll clean, but don't make me clean the toilets. No, we don't need you. No, we're okay. We'll find someone else to do. Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood. It's not too much for you to clean the toilets. I'm not saying it's a glamorous job, but so what? What an honor. That's where it's the most honor. Doing the least honorable things honorably, he sees that kind of stuff. He sees that kind of stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. Coming here to clean when nobody knows you did it that week, but God is honorable. Amen. Amen. How many times have I been in private on my face when everybody else is out doing stuff and having a good time or I'm called away to do something and sacrifice? Nobody will ever know and see it, but he does. And that's all the pat on the back I'll need. Serving in nursery when everybody else is in here rejoicing and hallelujah and shouting, and you're taking care of some other people's other kids, and you have kids that are already grown out of the house. You've already done this song and dance, and there you are again, back in there. What's your attitude like? That's when you have a chance to show Jesus what you're made of. It's just the truth. And so, you know, most of the time these people, okay, I'll do it, yeah, and then maybe they're there faithful. And before we'll ask them to do anything, be faithful in a seat for 6 months. Can't even do that. If you can't be faithful here, we sure can't trust you to be faithful up there. You'll never be asked to be up there. I'm amazed at the people say, put me on worship team, put me on worship team. And half the year, they're not even in church. 1 week they're there, 1 week they're not. 1 week they're there, 1 week they're there. You're never going to be on worship team. You won't be used by God. You just won't be. Amen. Or like this, their character's so shabby, and They're such billboards for the devil, you certainly can't put them out in front of people. There has to be honor. And people always say to me, I haven't had it from here in a long time, why do you have to preach in a suit? Because it's the best thing I got and I work for him. If I go to a wedding, this is what I wear. If I go to a funeral, this is what I wear. So when I go to the house of God, I'm going to come in anything less. I'm not saying for you. You got to be led by your own spirit and your own heart. And there's times, certain times I know with work, you just don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Okay? Don't get into bondage. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying for me. I work for him. This is the uniform that I feel right about working for him in. Well, that's just religion. No. I just want to be honorable to my God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I would always encourage everybody, if God tells you come up a little higher in certain things and standards in your dress, then do it. If your heart's fine, then don't. But I would encourage you to give God your best. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you can't just dress only any certain way to be on worship team. You can't just talk any certain way. You can't just live any certain way to be able to be with the kids. There's standards. Amen?
Amen.
And here's what I want to show you in the Bible. We think we're going to be used in miracles, signs, and wonders. Well, we better have it right in our character. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows that them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Talking about sin. But verse 20 says, in a great house. Well, the body of Christ in this house is a great house, I think. He said, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. What's he saying? In a house, there's nice things. Real nice, expensive things in a house, right? But also, there's of wood and of earth, dirt. Some to honor, some to dishonor. Think about your own home. Certain things, set them aside, put them on a shelf, put them behind a safe, put them behind a glass cabinet, put them up high where kids can't get to. Why? They're precious, they're valuable, they mean something, right? They're vessels unto honor. And then there's things like the placemat. You walk in and you rub your dirty feet all over it. It's still in your house, but that placemat's not as honorable as the thing that's sitting on the shelf or behind the safe or behind the glass. And he's saying, in a great house. He's not talking about a natural house, he's talking about a spiritual house. Now look at this. There's vessels in a spiritual house that are vessels of gold and silver that are vessels of honor, but there's also vessels in the same house that are wood and earth.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, you don't take your doormat and set it up on the shelf because it's dirty and nasty. And you're not trying to display that for everyone to see.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So, Pastor, explain this to me. Let's go on. Verse 21. If a man would purge himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. That word meet means fit. For the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What's God saying? People that are going to be working for me and going to do things for me, they got to be fit. They got to be meat. They got to be meat for my use. They got to be prepared. Purge themselves of the world. Stop being like the world. Stop being the doormat and become the vessel up on the shelf that we can display for all to see. Fit for the master's use. Are you fit for the master's use? What's your mouth like? Are you a gossiper? Are you a bad mouther? Are you someone that goes into places that no Christian should ever be found in? Are you someone that looks at things and participates in things and acts a certain way and talks with your friends? You think God's going to equip you and talk to you and tell you to be used mightily when you're just as bad as the devil? In fact, you're worse. Absolutely. He said, I'd wish you weren't lukewarm. In Revelation, Jesus said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. A cold person and is someone that has nothing to do with it at all. He said, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. The lukewarm Christian, oh, they're here on Sundays, praise the name of Jesus. Beep, 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 beep. Out of one stream doesn't flow bitter and sweet. Should flow out of the mouth. Cursing and blessings, James said, should not be so. Life should flow out of here.
Amen.
What's lukewarm? Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you. Glory to God. Go do what the world does. Get all drunked up and... Did you think that God's going to use you? A vessel unto honor. Amen. This is heavy here tonight, isn't it? But it's true. Kind of vessel do you want to be? You know, I'm always amazed. I don't know. I guess I got to go through the door when it's opened. The people that fight for the stuff to hold on to. The drinking, the wrong living. They fight to hold on to that stuff. And my question would be, have you checked your spirit? You're telling me that your spirit, well, I'll just say it this way. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Are you really okay watching that show with Jesus right next to you? Are you really okay walking into that establishment with Jesus right next to you? Are you really okay putting that in your body with the Savior right next to you? Why is it when I see Christians in Walmart with a case of beer in their shopping cart, do they get all freaked out and weird about it when I come around? If it's okay, why do you care? They all, you should see it. It's the funniest thing in the world. If you're okay with it, come on. What do we want to be like? How clean and prepared? We're talking to Wednesday night crew here now. This is meat and potato stuff, ladies and gentlemen. How used do we want to be? If you're someone that's still fighting to be able to drink that beer with your buddies at the bar, well, then you can have that life. You're not going to be used very much by God. You're just not. You're just not. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You now, let's say it this way. How many of you, let's be practical and honest here. You ran into me at Walmart, and I'm pushing a cart, and there's a six-pack of Bud Light. How many of you would be like, I'm nothing to that. I hope he enjoys that when he gets home. You know it would trip you up.
Yeah.
You know it would trip you up. And then the thought comes, well, you're a pastor. Well, wait a minute. If you say the pastor's standards should be such, why would we want to shoot for any less standards? Because the standards isn't pastor. The standards is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The standard is Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And I ask you, bring it before God. I'm telling you, I'm being sincere. I don't know who drinks and who doesn't. I'm not. You follow your own God. I'm just saying, you want to be used, or certain things we're going to have to lay down.
Right.
You bring it before Jesus. Line it up. Get on your knees. And you ask him about it. Do it. I dare you.
Yeah.
See what your heart says.
That's so good.
See what your heart says. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Why? A vessel. A vessel. Purge himself. It all depends on how much you want to be used.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I think we'll stop right there. We'll finish on this verse at the same point, but we're going to stop right here with this point. John 14 and verse 30. I remember getting born again. Again, stop with the legalism and what is and what isn't. What is your spirit saying? Your spirit. You have to obey your heart because, you know, we say, well, we can't find specific scriptures on everything. And you can't. But the Holy Ghost will tell you whether it's okay or whether it's not okay. Amen? You know, the Bible does not say Don't punch her between the eyes. You'll never find scripture on that. Does it say it? No. But my heart says, don't punch her between the eyes. Amen? Stop with this legalism garbage. Well, I don't find a verse. What's your spirit say? Have you talked to him about it? Have you asked him if it's okay? Amen. I remember getting born again. And you talk about the test being there right away. I got born again. And my friend, one of my best friends growing up, Jill Hamilton, asks me to be the maid of honor in her wedding. Minus the dress. And not only that, she asks me to go to her bachelorette party, the only guy there. Back then, I was, that's thumbs up. But I'm born again now. And we go out to the clubs and we go out to the bars because that's what I did. And something, didn't have verses on anything, didn't have... Didn't know any scripture. This is fresh out of getting born again. And something felt even different. I don't know if I should be going out with all these girls. When before it was like, that doesn't seem like that'd be a problem. I don't think I should be going. And I remember drinking that night. And it's the last night in 2002 I've ever had a sip of alcohol. I got drunk that night, and every drink that went down, my heart smote me. Didn't have any verses on it. My heart. Yeah. My heart. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't know what the Bible said or not. My heart smote me on it. And I remember waking up feeling so bad, saying, Lord, never again. Forgive me. Forgive me. Why? I want to be used by you, Father. I want to be used by you, Lord. If a bottle of beer is going to trip up somebody from me witnessing to them, it's not worth it to me.
Right.
Be led. Amen? Amen. But the Bible says in John 14 and verse 30, I don't talk very much about that, but there was a little bit of an open door there. Because remember, folks, we talk about the greater ones on the inside. That means he's with you all the time.
Right.
And again, we're not trying to get legalism. God's not trying to make it so you don't have any fun in life, but he would like you not to sin because he loves you. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, verse 30, John 14, 30. For the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me. What's he saying? The devil said, he doesn't have any hooks in me. His character. He was purged. He was clean, praise God. And God was able to use him. Amen. What is it that's holding you back from God being able to use you to the fullest extent? Because the Bible said Stephen was a man of honest report. Good character. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You
do know that holiness, the word holy is not the dirtiest four-letter word in church. In 2017, it is in a lot of places. Don't talk about holiness. That's legalism. No, that's Bible. Be ye holy, not as pastor is holy. Be ye holy as I am holy, he says. Amen.
Amen.
He wants to use us, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to use us. We want to be a billboard for Jesus, not a billboard for the devil. Amen. So next Wednesday, we'll go on with these points of looking at Stephen. So number one, be willing to serve. Number two, got to have good character. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. And we glorify you and praise your name and magnify your name. Let's just worship him for a second. I need to get a drink of water. Well, let's just praise him. Lord, we love you tonight. We love you tonight. We praise you and magnify you. If you'd open your eyes real quick, I know everybody in here is born again, but I'm going to give an invitation on live stream in a second. I wanted to make a mention of something as the family. This past Saturday, one of our family members went home to be with Jesus in the church. Dennis Harper. The gentleman that would come with Jeff and Michelle on Sunday mornings, he had the cane. A real sweet man. He passed away Saturday, and he's with Jesus. Praise God. He's born again. And so I wanted to let everybody know that. So just be praying for all that are involved with that. He was such a sweet, sweet man. Praise God. I'm so glad I got to know him. He got born again in this church. And you know, Jeff and Michelle were people that reached out to him and told him about the church and brought him. And because of people doing what we're supposed to do, that man's in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just rejoice about his salvation and the fact that he's with Jesus tonight. Dennis suffered a lot in his body. Not anymore. Hallelujah. Not anymore, devil. You lose, he wins. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for his salvation and for all the people, the family members and friends that we know that are in heaven. They're victorious. Glory to God. We thank you for it, Father. We bless you. Now, if you're listening by live stream, you say, how does he know he's in heaven? I mean, what a joy to know that that man is in heaven. We're going to miss him, but he's not sad. And Brother Hagin used to say, don't ever feel bad for the Christian that went to heaven. Don't ever feel bad for a Christian that dies. Don't ever feel bad for a Christian that dies. They have gained, the Bible says. They've gotten to a place that's far better. Dennis wouldn't come back here if he could. Praise God. And so heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're listening by live stream, say, I want that assurance. How wonderful would it be to know that when my time is up, I'm going to heaven where there's peace and prosperity and joy, health and victory, soundness of mind. Well, the Bible says it's easy. The world will tell you it's hard, but the Bible says it's easy. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do religious cartwheels to get God to accept you. It's not about your church attendance. The Bible says there's two qualifications to get into heaven. Number one, you must believe in Jesus. John 3:16 says, whosoever believes in him will not perish. So number one, you have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe in Jesus with your head. Because your head won't understand all this, Jesus died and raised again. But in your heart, for some reason, you'll say, I know that's real. I don't understand it all, but I know Jesus is real. I know he died and rose again. That's the first qualification. The second qualification is you have to accept him into your heart. You have to receive him. The Bible says, they that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So once you can say, I do, I believe in Jesus, the second thing you have to do is ask him into your life. Just simply say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. Dennis prayed that prayer here on a Sunday morning months ago. And it was that simple. Didn't have to do religious cartwheels or jump through religious hoops. Just accepted Jesus and now he's with our Savior. Completely whole in mind. Completely whole in body. Father, we praise you and magnify you for salvation. And if you're on live stream and you prayed that prayer, give us an email or give us a call and we'll get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church, because heaven's great, but let's learn how to live a blessed life down here. Father, we love you tonight. Is there anything else you want to do, Lord? Anything else you want to do? We praise you and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
As far as if you're wondering about service arrangements for Dennis, they're going to have me do it, but it's going to be in the future. And his brother's going to get back to me, so we'll make sure to keep you all posted on that if you wanted to go to that or whatever. But hook up in faith. There's going to be a lot of people that are hellbound, 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 hellbound,